I got to tell you, it's like old home week. Whenever I do anything with Carlos McClintock, the pride of Greenfield, we are going to talk to a gentleman who is a very big part of Greater Pitt Tree Service. He joins us solo this hour. Carlos is listening, but he's got the day off, enjoying it with his friends and family. But today, Troy Lampenfeld is here. He's an ISA certified arborist. Carlos has been telling me all about this young man. We're going to tell you what we're going to be talking about, but especially the brand new tree and plant health care division that we've been alluding to in the last couple of weeks. But here's where it gets interesting. Not only is Ryan McCullough, my producer from Bloomfield, this man's parents actually are involved in that great community, too. My familia, I'm always there for Little Italy days, always giving them a lot of love. So before you do anything else, you got to take care of mom and dad. Talk about your mom and dad. What do they do in Bloomfield? Good morning.
My family. Good morning, Rob. But my family runs Silky's Pub down in Bloomfield. It's a local bar. We used to have other bars around the area, one in Squirrel Hill called Silky's. My grandmother started it a ways back, and it's been a family establishment ever since. I've been working there from childhood to, you know, up until I went away to school. So it's a true family-run business.
Listen, Carlos is such a big fan of the community, the city of neighborhoods as I am, and that's what makes you guys so special, because you understand the community, because you live in the community.
Yeah.
So how in the world did you decide to get into this? And you're such a young man, and I hear nothing but great things about you. So how'd that happen?
Yeah, I appreciate it. So, I mean, I went to school at University of Dayton over in Ohio. And I graduated just a bit before the pandemic. And so when I came out of the pandemic, jobs were interesting. I graduated with a degree in environmental biology, specifically, you know, focusing on plant biology and stuff like that. And when I got out of school, I decided, you know, I'm going to do something fun. I'm going to start climbing trees. So I started climbing trees over in Cincinnati, in Ohio, worked with Bartlett Tree Experts for a while. I came home one day, basically, for Thanksgiving, ran into Carlos near the family bar, basically.
And it's all over after
that,
yeah, right?
And he came up and he was like, so I hear you're doing tree work, you know, and he basically got a hold of me. I got my ISA certification. I try to dedicate as much time as I possibly can in my personal life, during work, whenever, to studying the thing that I do, because I think there's, you know, no greater honor really than being an expert in what you do. I really think that. So I spend a lot of time researching trees and just looking at everything that I can to know the most about it that I possibly can.
Well, you got a great boss, and he loves what he does, and I can see your passion in it as well, too. So before we do anything, I want to remind you that Troy is going to be taking your phone calls this hour, and we're going to be talking about maples and hemlocks and oak trees and diseases attacking them. So if you have questions specifically around those maples, hemlocks, oak trees, or anything about trees, now is the time for you to give us a call. Going to be warm, 70 degrees, pretty much starting tomorrow through the rest of the week. So, hey, things are going to start blooming. You're going to start mowing your grass. So you got to get into that frame of mind. And no one does a better job than Greater Pitt Tree Service, 412-884-TREE. You can actually call now, leave your information. They will get back to you, and they will get on that job. Carlos McClintock, our fearless leader and owner of Greater Pitt Tree Service, is off today. But Troy is here. Lampenfeld, he is an ISA-certified arborist, taking your calls. So 866-391-1020. Here's the other thing, this thing that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, the tree and plant health care that you guys are doing now. This is something really special. It's a new division, and it's really taking off. So tell me about this division, Troy.
Yeah, so the plant health care division, it's one of the most interesting parts of tree care, like the industry in general, as of recent anyhow. So over the past 30, 40 years, you know, the tree industry has gone from being a really roughneck industry where you're kind of driving out with a chainsaw and a pickup truck and just kind of taking down trees, to being more of a scientific and more advanced field.
Mm-hmm.
So the plant healthcare division, really, and that side of the industry is really the more scientific side of the tree care industry. So what we do is, rather than, you know, trying to focus on taking trees down, we try to keep those trees healthy. We try to keep those trees alive. We manage pest infestations, different types of invasive insects. We manage diseases. We manage cultural problems with the trees. There's a million different things that you can think about when it comes to trees as to how to manage them, how to keep them in a good position. But the main thing that we try to focus on is the tree as a biological organism, as opposed to, you know, the tree as just something that you're kind of waiting to see how it does.
Listen, Troy Lampenfeld, ISA certified arborist. He's here representing Greater Pitt Tree Service. Phones are starting to stack up already. So any question you have, this young man's going to help you find the answer. 866-391-1020. Talk about the company. Amazing workers, great work ethic. And I don't think I've ever met anybody who owns a business who's hands-on more than Carlos.
Oh, he's out there every day. Yeah. I mean, Carlos every single day is out at the job site with the crew. He sets them up in the morning. He's out there, you know, running the saws on people's properties, talking to the customers every single day. I mean, our company, I really take pride in it a lot of the time. Honestly, just it's difficult for young people, especially, I think, to take pride in what they do nowadays because it's difficult to get into a good position like that. But Carlos runs a business that I really am pretty proud of. You know, making sure that we're ethical in everything that we do, making sure that our work stands up to or surpasses the standard of quality in the industry in every single sense. We make a lot of effort basically to make sure that our company is as quality as it comes from the tree care perspective.
It's a real honor to meet you. I'm looking forward to the show. It's
lovely to meet you too, Rob.
All right. Maples, hemlocks, oak trees, diseases attacking them, and what the applications that they can offer to homeowners. And also, we're going to be talking more about this tree and plant healthcare division, really something unprecedented, getting rave reviews. And it's all a part of Greater Pitt Tree Service and what they do. 412-884-TREE. Without further ado, let's get going. Let's talk to Mary in Peters Township. Lantern flies. It was on my thought process. I was going to get to it, Mary, but you go first. Welcome to KDKA.
That'd be the first one.
Hi. I have property in Greene County, and there's like 90 acres of trees. And I wanted to know if these specific flies, are there certain type of trees they hit or any kind of tree?
Yeah, so the lantern flies, I mean, they've been a massive issue recently, obviously. Everybody's seen them. But they can be damaging to a lot of different types of trees. The first thing that you kind of want to watch out for is to make sure that you don't have any tree of heaven on your property. Tree of heaven, it's called Ailanthus altissima is the Latin name. So the lantern flies actually kind of cohabitate with that type of tree specifically. And the reason for that is they're both invasive species. The tree of heaven is invasive. The spotted lantern fly is invasive. They both come over. They meet in the middle. The lantern fly decimates tree of heaven and kills them, but they spring back so quickly that it doesn't really matter for their population. It just makes them more brittle, more open for other insects to take advantage, and more of a vector for disease, basically. The other types of trees that these lantern flies really damage in a large scale type of way are maple trees, willow trees, sycamores, which we have a ton of around the area. And I'm sure over 90 acres, you know, that's a lot of land. Over 90 acres of woods, you're probably looking at a lot of maple trees that these lantern flies potentially could damage. In that type of setting, I would say, you know, if you're looking to protect these trees, specifically finding trees that are, you know, closer to the property that are more valuable to you specifically to protect, we have options to treat for lantern fly infestation and to prevent it as well.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. If you have any questions about it or you're looking to get some kind of a treatment done on those trees, or if you just want to have me out there to consult with you about the woods, I would be happy to come out. Just give a call to our office, all right?
All right, so you knew that was going to be the first question.
I had a feeling, you know?
So what's up with these cicadas? Anything to be concerned about?
Yeah, so the cicadas are interesting. I mean, there's not much that you really want to do about the cicada. I think they're really, really cool, you know? I'm a little bit of like a nature nerd kind of guy on
geek,
that type
I
of
get
stuff,
it.
You know? But cicadas, you know, they have 13-year broods, 17-year broods, where these insects kind of hibernate underground. They come back every 17 years or so in massive waves. And it's really interesting. This is actually one of the first years that two separate populations of cicadas have hibernated underground and are coming out at the same time. They're kind of coinciding. So I'd imagine it's going to be a pretty big population of them over the next, I think it's supposed to happen later this year, but when that happens, you know, there's going to be a lot of plant damage. And the way that cicadas damage plants is by ovipositing, basically. So what they'll do, especially a lot of the time on larger oak trees, you'll see a lot of cicada damage. They'll basically dig a small hole into a branch, lay eggs in that hole, and then the kind of mechanism for it is that branch falls off, the eggs are inside the branch, the branch eventually gets buried, and then the eggs get buried where the cicadas overwinter, basically, and hibernate.
All right, good stuff. We got much more to do, so get on the line. We're going to talk to Eric in North Huntington next, but if you have a tree question, give us a call. 866-391-1020. ISA Certified Arborist Troy Lampenfield. He is from Greater Pitt Tree Service, and this is KDKA. Good morning. All right, Troy Lampenfeld is here. He is an ISA certified arborist from Greater Pitt Tree Service. Carlos is off today. He'll be back with us in a couple of weeks, but 412-884-TREE. That number, 412-884-TREE. We're taking all those tree questions, so keep them coming. 866-391-1020. Let's say hi to Eric in North Huntington. Eric, good morning. You're on KDKA.
Morning, sirs. Morning, Troy.
Hey, what's going on, Eric?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Enjoying the morning.
Yeah, yeah, us too. What can we help you with?
Okay, sir. Just had to hurry up and rush home from church. And yesterday, we were outside doing a little yard work, and we noticed one of the trees in the back, some type of evergreen. I had to rush home and look at my book of trees, and I think it's an eastern hemlock.
Okay, yeah.
It was encased with those white little, like, I don't know, casings.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about already. Yeah, so when you have on the needles or on the branches of the tree, you have those really little white fluff balls. It looks like somebody took miniature cotton balls and taped them all over your tree.
What it looks like. Yeah, yeah, it's the neighbor's tree, yeah.
Yeah, when you have something like that, typically what that is, it's called hemlock woolly adelgid. So that's an invasive insect in this area. Basically, it's been kind of wiping out hemlock trees over the East Coast for a while. It's a dangerous thing to have. It's something that I would say getting treated immediately is probably the best case scenario on something like that, so that you don't have to end up taking down the tree in the future, or so that the tree doesn't deteriorate and, you know, come down on its own. I think generally hemlock woolly adelgid can be really, really damaging and pretty quick if the infestation is bad enough.
Yeah, the whole tree is encased with those little white cotton balls, you say. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
so how do we take care of that? Or I know you say treat it.
Mm-hmm. So the way that if you give us a call at our office and you leave your information, I can come out to your property and check it out and get you an estimate on what treatment would cost for that. But basically what we do is we take systemic treatment that we spray onto the bark of the tree. And underneath the bark of the tree, there's called the xylem and the phloem. These are the transport mechanisms for the tree, basically. They transport water and they transport nutrients to the needles and from the root system. We spray something onto the bark that penetrates through the bark and gets absorbed into the xylem and the phloem. And that translocates through the rest of the tree and provides basically total coverage for the tree to get it back to a healthier state and get rid of that invasive pest.
Okay, sir. Does it spread to other trees or only that tree?
It will spread to other trees. Yeah, I mean, hemlock woolly adelgid can, you know, it'll take out or it'll infest a forest of hemlocks pretty quickly if it's not managed correctly. It depends on the case. Everything depends. You know, every tree is unique. It's something that I would take care of sooner rather than later, because you may end up managing, you know, if you got 10 hemlocks, you might manage 10 hemlocks in the future rather than one.
Yeah, they. I don't know the type that they have next door, but I know to the left there's a maple.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have the number to your place there?
Yeah, it's 412-884-TREE, T-R-E-E.
Oh, thank you very much, Troy. Everybody have a nice day.
Of course. Thank you, Eric. You have a good one.
You know, when you're giving the number out as many times as I have and somebody asks for it again, that means you're giving them the answers they want to get in touch with.
Yeah.
You. All right. Listen, let's talk about where we are right now in the season, where the weather's going to start getting warmer, buds are going to start blooming, things that need to be done and people need to get acting on, like right now. So the big question is, do we start mowing our lawn? When can I do that?
Yeah.
Trees equally important, if not more so. So let's talk about where we are in timeline-wise. Troy.
Yeah, timeline-wise, I mean, for one thing, the hemlock woolly adelgid, we have a really good treatment window right now. So if you have hemlock trees, go out and check them. If there's a little bit of white stuff on there, odds are higher up in the tree where you can't see, there's a lot. On top of the hemlocks, I would say something that's really common in this time is doing crab apples, or everybody has Bradford pear trees. crab apples get really bad apple scab, basically, which can damage the leaf mass of the tree. If your apple tree is losing its leaves really early in the summer before fall and it's looking a little bare and everything like that, that can damage the tree over the long term and you can end up losing it. And the way to treat that starts in the spring. It has to. On top of that, pear trees, Bradford pears specifically, a lot of the time you'll be looking at branches dying back or the tree looking a little bit thinner than normal. A lot of the time what that is fire blight. And fire blight is this disease basically that attacks the tree that causes the branches to die back and shape into this little J-shaped shepherd's crook, basically. And both of those things are things that can be treated right now. But if you leave them go till later in the year, you can't really do anything about it. It's based upon the timing in the year that you can really manage some things.
All right, but it's a good time to get somebody like you out there to get them involved in this new division you're talking about. So talk about that new division again.
Yeah, definitely is a good time for that. So the new division is our plant healthcare division. So plant healthcare basically is everything around tree care to manage the health of the plants and make sure that you don't have to go down that last resort of removal, right? So when we're looking at that, a lot of what we talk about is treatments and preventative care and stuff like that, managing diseases, managing insects, but a lot of it also comes down to just making sure that you do the preventative work to make sure that your plant doesn't get sick. Because there are some things, you know, I'm good at what I do, but I'm not a miracle worker. There are some things you can't fix. So the best way to prevent getting those things is to do the work to make sure that the plants are healthy in the first place. And we've got a lot of ways to do that. So, I mean, when you're looking at larger mature trees specifically, that's really what you want to do is, you know, you have a 60, 70-year-old oak or maple tree on your property that's out there, been in the same soil for 60, 70 years, been, you know, undergone construction around the area in this compacted soil that the house was built on. You got a lot of things that you can do to manage that tree to make sure that it stays around a lot longer rather than dies out and either drops a limb on your house or ends up being something that you have to take down in the future and lowers the property value of your house if it dies and you lose it, you know?
And also if it falls on your roof.
It lowers the property value that a lot, you know?
All right. Troy Lampenfeld is here. He, of course, ISA certified arborist, part of the Greater Pitt Tree Service team. You can reach them at 412-884-TREE. It's a call you will not be disappointed with. Incredible service, and they get that job done. And Carlos out there every day working with his crew, part of this great region. Now, maples, hemlocks, oak trees, these diseases they're facing right now. We're going to chime in on that a little bit, then we'll get to a break and come back and get to more of your phone calls. So if you have any questions about your trees, Troy would love to talk to you today. Our number is 866-391-1020. Spring has sprung. Now is the time for you to spring into action and give us a call, 866-391-1020. So those three, maple, hemlocks, oak trees, why are they being affected now more than others? Go ahead.
So the hemlocks specifically are something that we just talked about, that hemlock woolly adelgid is something that's been damaging hemlocks around the area a ton, and that's something that we can manage. Oaks and maples are a little bit different. Oaks and maples fall into that kind of preventative category that we got into earlier. It's important because those trees are so long-lasting. They can get really old, really, really large. They can be the centerpiece of a property or just, you know, a tree that's really important to somebody. Maples get damaged with verticillium wilt relatively often, and we actually just saw I don't know if you saw the CBS News article of Carlos out in the park, basically, but this park had a whole row of maple trees that were recently diagnosed with verticillium wilt by the Allegheny Parks Foundation. And, you know, verticillium wilt, once it's taken hold of the tree, there's nothing that you can do to stop it, so they're having to remove all of those trees. That's something where managing that tree comes down to the preventative aspect. If you can keep that tree healthy, you're going to prevent it from getting that disease and having to take it down in the future. So verticillium wilt is something where you have to manage the soil of the tree, you have to manage the health of the tree in general to prevent that from taking hold of it. And oaks have something similar called oak wilt, basically. Oaks are, you know, the mighty oak is actually kind of a baby. Honestly, it needs a little bit of babying, it needs some help. When you look at oaks, one of the things that is detrimental to them first and foremost is oak wilt. When you get oak wilt or rapid oak death or anything like that, it's probably because of poor management.
All right, so here's what you need to do. Get on the line. Give us a call. We're going to take more of your tree questions right up to the top of the hour, but better yet, 412-884-TREE. That will get them to your home to get the job done. Greater Pitt Tree Service, ISA certified arborist Troy Lampenfeld is here. Our number again, 866-391-1020. More to come on the other side of the news right here with your Pratt Pack on KDKA. Good morning. Troy Lampenfeld, Greater Pitt Tree Service. He's an ISA certified arborist. And let me say, your mom and dad should be pretty proud of you. You're doing a great job today. And I know Carlos is. Let's go to Donna in Shaler on KDKA. Hey, Donna, what's your question? Donna. All right, let me put her back on hold. Ryan, see if you can get her back in the queue. We'll get her on the air. Again, let's talk about this division. Unique, no one's doing it, but it's a great way to make sure that somebody rolls in on a semi-regular basis to make sure everything is working. Tell them about it.
Yeah, so our plant healthcare division, we have not only, you know, a la carte services where we'll come out and take care of one tree for you if it's having some issues, but we do have yearly management plans also where I can basically personally come out to your property a couple times a year, manage what trees and shrubs need attention, which ones don't, kind of only do applications where they're necessary so you're not over-treating your property, so you're not over-managing things, you're doing just what your property needs. So, you know, you can hire me basically to come out and handle all those types of things for you, keep your property looking beautiful and keep it healthy and ecologically friendly as well.
I think Donna's back. Hey, Donna, go ahead. You're on KDKA.
Hi. I do have a question. I have a row of plum trees. And they were beautiful for probably 5 years. And now, based on my research on the internet, it looks like I have black rot. Is there any way to save those?
Oh, so you're looking at, on the twigs, you're looking at little balls of black, basically woody material fungus on the sticks. Am I right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's called black knot disease.
Black knot. Okay.
Oh, it's close. Don't worry about it. but black knot disease, basically, it's something that a lot of the time can be super damaging, especially to plum and cherry plum trees, fruit trees especially in general, like choke cherries also. They'll get black knot disease, and that's a little bit trickier to take care of. It takes a skilled hand and a lot of work, honestly, a lot of meticulous labor to get those back in shape. But that is something we could manage. So the treatment for that is we would come in, we'd have to cut out every individual piece of black knot and sterilize our blades in between each cut, make sure that we're really having pretty surgical precision on that type of stuff, and then afterwards treat the tree with a fungicide to try to prevent the recurrence of the disease. That's something that can be managed, but it's a little bit more involved than it would be if you were looking at a single treatment type of thing. So it's something that we would definitely help you out with, but I'd have to get out there myself to see exactly what the scope of work looks like to make sure I can help you with it and it's not too far gone. Because if you do get black knot on, you know, the trunk of the tree, there's no real way to cut that out of it, is there? You know?
I see.
So I can come out there if you give our number a call, 412-884-TREE. Let them know you're a KDKA listener and, you know, we can get you a discount on whatever services we offer you.
I will definitely be calling your company on Monday. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know, company is really like family. You know, I've been here for many decades and I've often said KDKA is family. One thing I've noticed about Carlos, it's one big family. You eat together, you work together, and you spend a lot of time together. So the people that are coming out that represent Greater Pitt Tree Service, they're your neighbors, they live in the community, and they're there to get the job done. Like Carlos says, there's no day off.
Yeah, he's a very 24/7 kind of guy when it comes to work, and I try to keep up with that as best I can, you know?
You know, we were talking a couple of weeks ago, and I said, yeah, I got to get him in here.
Yeah.
And I understand why. So everything he said about you is true. 412.
I appreciate it.
And it's all good. 884-TREE. 412-884-TREE. Lots of calls today. And if you have a question you want to get in here, we got about a segment and a half to go. Give us a call. 866-391-1020. Here's Carl out driving around, and he's got a question. Hey, Carl, you're on KDK.
Hey guys. I have a question here about adult trees. Should people water those trees?
That depends. I mean, a lot of that depends on the species and the placement of it, right? So you're talking about mature trees, trees that are just large, been around for a while, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, every tree in every area that a tree is in is unique, right? So if you're talking about a willow tree in a dry place, you're going to need to water that willow tree no matter what. Even if it's raining pretty often, if it's not in the right area, you're going to have to water it. If you're looking at something that manages drought a lot better and it's in a place that's a little bit wet, you might have issues with root rot, you know? So the real, you know, specific of it doesn't come down to whether or not you should water all mature trees or not water all mature trees. It's about where that tree is, having the right tree in the right place, and making sure that you know the specifics of how to manage those trees in those places based upon what you're getting.
Well, for example, we had all the rain last week. Mm-hmm. Like, how long does that rain last for those trees? Do they build that up? Is that good for like a month or two or none?
Well, I mean, large trees a lot of the time will have pretty fair amounts of water storage in the soil. So what happens basically is the soil has all these air pockets in it, right? If you have good soil that's decompacted and broken up, it'll have an area where you've got air pockets and you've got pore space for water to put in there. And once the soil has absorbed all of the water that it can and it's holding it all, it's called what's at field capacity, basically. So when the water's at field capacity, the tree has as much as it possibly can to take up and can last a long while, again, depending on the species of tree, without another rainfall. They're kind of designed that way, right? Trees in the forest don't get watered. They're out there and they have water available to them based upon the amount of rainfall. Now, one thing that's important for that is also making sure that your tree is, you know, living in a good environment. So if your tree's surrounded by grass and it's not got a mulch ring around it, it doesn't have anything to kind of prevent water being taken away from it, you might be looking at something that has a little bit worse of a drought tolerance, right? If you have grass all around the base of your tree, it's going to take up some of that water that your tree is looking to get. And if you don't have mulch around the base of your tree, or at least around the exterior portion, don't put it all the way up to the trunk. But if you don't have mulch around the base of the tree, the water is going to dry up from the soil faster. You know, it's all basic science at the end of the day, but it can last a good long while for a tree after we've had a lot of rain like this. And sometimes it can even be too much, honestly, because we've had such intense flooding, as I'm sure you've noticed.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for your time.
Of course.
Don't do any of that volcano mulch, right?
No, do not do that. I'm sure Carlos has harped on that
a little bit. Why do people do that?
Some people think it looks nice, which I don't necessarily understand.
Me neither.
You know, it looks kind of like a pencil stuck in a mound of dirt, but, it's something that has just become, you know, common practice for landscaping industries over the past forever, I guess. People just pile it on and pile it on. Sometimes it's because they're lazy putting it on and they want to make sure that, you know, you just dump a whole bag around it, dump a second bag. Yeah, it's whoever's putting it on knows, you know.
Shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ken and Plum up next for Troy. Go ahead. You're on the air, Ken. Welcome to KDKA.
Thank you. Great show. I'll try to make this real fast. I live, I have run a property in a borough. I won't even mention the borough, but it's a maple tree that's probably 40 to 50 years old that they planted the tree, and it's lifting the sidewalk up probably by 2 feet. Oh. And every 10 years, I have to address it.
Yeah.
Any ideas?
So it's lifting the sidewalk up. Are you just cutting the sidewalk back? Like reducing it and giving the tree more space?
I have to tear up the entire concrete and replace it about every 10 years. And I'm responsible for the sidewalk.
Yeah. Okay. So that sounds like something where this tree is, you know, it's expanding a lot and it's in a position where it's kind of growing out of its allotted zone, right? So you have a couple of options. Either one, you can kind of cut your losses and remove the tree, which is
No, they want, the borough will not allow me to do that.
Well, I was just going to say it's not what I recommend. But okay. I would say what we're doing on that, if you can, it depends on what borough you're in and what the rules are there. I'm not quite sure what the rules are up in Plum, but if we're looking at a maple tree that's growing too fast, I have treatments that are available for that called plant growth regulators, basically. So these plant growth regulators, they regulate a hormone in the plants called gibberellin, which stimulates primary and secondary growth in the shoots and in the stem. So when you're looking at managing something that's overgrowing its area and becoming a little bit too mature too quickly, Plant growth regulator can be an awesome option for that. And it also sounds like you may have had a lot of root damage from replacing that concrete and cutting through it and replacing it again over the years. And plant growth regulators can be excellent for root damage, too, to keep the trees around in that that instance.
Okay, one other tree issue. Bartlett pears, I understand, are banned in Pennsylvania. Correct?
Yeah, Bradford pears. Yeah, yeah.
For Bradford pear. Any idea with a street with about 30 of them on? I understand they're toxic and all kind of other issues with those.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of problems with Bradford pears. So the reason that they're banned right now is because they're an invasive species. If you've ever been, especially just the past couple of weeks, it's easy to see. When you're driving down the highway, sometimes you'll see a field on your left or your right that's just covered in those white flowers. They're taking over ecosystems in the area that they're not really supposed to be taken over. And they're basically landscaped so frequently that they're taking over areas where they're not supposed to be. They don't belong, really. And when you have something like that, that's the main reason that they're banned. On top of that, even as a house tree or a street tree, I'm not a huge fan of them. They're probably my second least favorite type of tree outside of that tree of heaven I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But Bradford pears, when you look at them, they have a structure that is called decurrent growth, basically. And decurrent growth means that they have multiple stems coming out from the center, almost like a shrub on top of a little popsicle stick, right? When you have that, you have a lot of weight centered on branches that do not have a very strong attachment to the trunk and do not have a lot of weight holding capacity, basically. And they'll grow these fruits and they'll grow these flowers and these really thick leaves. And eventually they split. They split and they break and they become problematic. They're not long-lasting trees, and they're not trees that I would really recommend planting anywhere, even if it is legal to plant them where you are. Bradford pears, having them on your street, it's kind of, you know, too little too late. They're already all out there. They're not going to be any risk to you from a health perspective, but they may be, you know, a risk to somebody's car who's parked under them if they're going to split in half.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. John and Swickley, you're next. But again, tell them about the new division and why people need to make the call to get in early on it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Our new division, the Plant Healthcare Division, is designed to make sure that you don't have to take that last step of removing a tree, especially a tree that you like on your property. We manage the health of the trees, we manage insect and disease problems, and we make sure that when you're looking at a tree that means a lot to you or that makes your property look or feel a certain way that you love, you can hold on to that for as long as is possible for the tree. Keep them around, ideally, longer than we're around. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. 412-884-TREE, 412-884-TREE. And if you want to get in on the last segment, been a very busy hour with Troy, give us a call, 866-391-1020. We'll be back. All right, Troy Lampenfeld is here, ISA Certified Arborist, Greater Pitt Tree Service. You got to make the call to become a part of that division. That way they can stay out in front of this stuff, and you just set it up, and then they make sure everything is status quo. 412-884-TREE, 412-884-TREE. And if you need any other work, you can call that number today. Leave your information, call them tomorrow. They will get back to you, 412-884-TREE. And if you have a question for us here in the final few minutes of the program, we could squeeze in a call or two. Give us a call. 866-391-1020. As promised, let's go to Swickley and say hi to John. John, you're on KDKA. Good morning.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, real good. Hey, I have a problem with a mature tree in my yard. I noticed last week, after all that hard rain, I lost a portion of the bark about the size of a piece of paper, maybe a little bit larger, maybe 10 by 15, right at ground level. Should I do anything with that, cover it or put anything on it, or should I just let it sort of heal over by itself?
So that's something that I would definitely give us a call about. And I say that because when you have any kind of damage to the base of a tree, a lot of the time that bark will cover it over, but it won't actually heal. So trees, the way that they manage damage in general is they do something called compartmentalization, right? So when there's damage to a tree, it compartmentalizes and then it grows over it, but it never actually heals that wound. You'll have damage on the interior of a tree that was healed over years earlier and continued to expand until it was compartmentalized properly. So if you have bark that's fallen off of that tree, that's something that potentially could have been done years and years ago and has just had the bark over it for a long time. You could have a tree that has substantial damage to the inside of it with real rot on the inside, honestly, that could be causing that tree to be a hazard to other people. And, you know, I'm the treatment guy, and I am usually, almost always, actually, I try to find a way to keep a tree up and alive as long as possible. But I would like to get out there and get a look at that thing to see what kind of damage to the bark you're looking at, because if it's what I'm thinking it is, there's a good chance that you have insect infestation, that you have borer holes underneath that bark, that you have potential fungal infestation or infection as well. That's something that I would take a look at and at the very least test to see the stability of the tree.
Okay, and what was your number at your office again, please?
It's 412-884-TREE, T-R-E-E.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, John.
I'll be calling you sometime this week.
I look forward to it. I'll see you.
All right, John. Boy, lots of nice trees in Swickley.
Yeah, lots of nice trees in this city. You know, Pennsylvania, it's Penn Woods, you know, so...
Well, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, here we go. One more call. Busy hour with Troy Lampenfeld, ISA Certified Arborist, Greater Pitt Tree Service. It is their hour today, every other Sunday in the 9 o'clock hour on KDK. Pam, go ahead. You're on KDKA. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. I have a question about Japanese maples. I have two of them. They're probably over 20 years old, and they've always been very full, beautiful. The leaves cascade down, and... I noticed over the last couple of years, they don't have that cascading. They seem very sparse. Mm. There are parts of it that have beautiful leaves, and there's parts of it that seem like the branches are dead. They're white. They're brittle. I have gone through, and I've pruned them a little bit. I don't know if that's good to do, but could they possibly have a disease?
So are these really small Japanese maple trees, or are they?
Yes.
They're the really small ones that look almost like a shrub that they kind of hang straight down to the floor?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So those, what you're probably looking at is a cultural issue. So the first thing I'll ask is there a lot of mulch underneath there, and is there a lot of moisture in that soil?
No.
Well, I mean, if you're not looking at that, there's a potential that the nutrients in the soil just aren't up to snuff, and that's something that I would recommend for a deep root fertilization program. So if you give us a number, I can come out there and get you a quote on a deep root fertilization program for both of those. We'll do one in the spring and one in the fall. And I'll have to see the tree first to make any promises, but I think that might fix your issue.
Perfect for that plant tree healthcare division, right? No
mm-hmm.
doubt. All right.
Yeah.
So what you need to do, Pam, is to follow up. Give them a call, 412-884-TREE, 412-884-TREE. We are out of time. Home run, my man. Good job.
Look at that. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Rob. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a pleasure being on here, honestly. I love talking about trees, so if anybody has any questions, honestly, just give us a call. I'll come out and just talk to you. I love it, you know.
You did a good job.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, 412-884-TREE. Carlos will be back with me in a couple of weeks, but remember, when you call Greater Pitt Tree Service, you get Carlos, you get the crew, you get your neighbors, and they get the job done right. That's 412-884-TREE, 412-884-TREE.